I wrote four words on the board. The bottom one you might not be able to see if you're sitting towards the back, if your eyes are like mine. I wrote the top one up there as big as I thought I could, inspiration. The one below it is infusion with a little smaller letters. One below that is instruction. And below that I wrote the word suggestion. It felt like the Lord gave me some real inspiration for this. And earlier in the week, and as I thought about it, I thought, well, Lord, it seems like this is way too big and heavy for me. But it seems so important. I wish that there could be a lot of people that could get a hold of this. So, those of you that are visiting today, may the Lord help you to take it back where you come from. I'm not going to be able probably to finish everything this morning, and I certainly would like for you to come back to get the full meal deal, but anyway, I understand. Looking up in the dictionary a definition for the word inspiration, I find this. Inspiration, in one definition, is the infusion of ideas into the mind by the Holy Spirit, the conveying into the minds of men ideas, notices, or motions by extraordinary or supernatural influence, or the communication of the divine will to the understanding by suggestions or impressions on the mind, which leave no room to doubt the reality of their supernatural origin. So an inspiration is different than a whim or a notion. You know, many times people might say, well, I've been inspired. And really all it was a little bright idea that flickered on for a brief period of time. They might say, I've been inspired to get up and tell y'all what you're doing wrong. Well, I'm going to tell you, it probably wasn't inspiration. It was probably an axe that they wanted to grind. Inspiration is something that goes beyond a doubt that this is God dealing with my heart. Inspiration is something that it's an infusion, it said, of ideas into the mind by the Holy Spirit. This is a definition someone else wrote. I didn't write it down. Inspiration is something that is powerful. Not only is it powerful, it will make things begin to happen. You know, I can step outside and, well, let's just back up a little bit. It's been a while, but I remember all about getting up in the night and maybe walking through the house and stepping on a Lego in my bare feet. And I'm going to tell you, right then is when you want to go to wake up the children and say, pick up your toys. That's a bright idea. That's not inspiration. Okay? Just so we're all clear here, that's not inspiration to go wake somebody up and tell them, you don't get to get up here and either pick up your toys or I'm going to torment you till you do. This is awful for me to get up and step on a Lego in the middle of the night. That's not what I'm talking about. Inspiration is something that causes us to realize that God's been speaking to me. There's something here. It's maybe taken some time to develop and to cultivate into my heart, in my mind, and I realize I just can't go back on this. That's what inspiration. You know what I'm saying here? Inspiration is something that we are convinced that part of the definition here is it's the suggestion or impression on the mind which leave no doubt to the reality of their supernatural origin. Have you ever been inspired and knew that you was violating something to go back on it? We call them sometimes personal convictions. I believe a lot of times that's inspiration from God. When we come to the place, we realize, Lord, I know it might not say in black and white, thou shalt not. But I know there's a principle behind this thing, and I believe you've given me the direction, and I feel like I'm violating something you give me for me to back up on that. That's an inspiration, folks. That's something that God has given you. And in this word, this definition of the word inspiration, they use the word infusion. So I looked that one up. It says the act of pouring in or instilling, installation, not distillation, but installation, as in the infusion of good principles into the mind and the infusion of ardor or zeal. So for the little children, I would say, if you get a chance and your mama will let you, go find you some celery that's got the little leaves on it and put it in a glass of water. And you know how the leaves are so green? And then if she's got some food coloring, put some red food coloring in there and let it set for a while. And did you know that red food coloring will go up in that celery, and that celery will have red leaves? It's because that food coloring is infused into the celery. So infusion is when there's an absorption of something. It becomes, it's inside of us. There's things that's inside all of us because we've been infused with it by our atmospheres, by our circumstances, by our backgrounds, by our home life, and some of them we want to turn loose of and we just don't know how because it's part of our character. It's part of who we've been. And we ask God many times at some of our greatest struggles in life, is there is some kind of mental block going on because we have been infused with something from outside influences that's impacting us. And maybe we've been infused with something that keeps us from being able to be infused by good principles and to be able to receive the inspiration from God. I'm talking about big stuff here this morning. All right? Inspiration and infusion go way beyond suggestions and instruction. Suggestions are things, they're options to be considered. No requirements or consequences for non-adherence. So, anytime, sometimes people give us something and they say, this is just a suggestion. But you can tell they mean it for more than that. They really have this idea that if you don't do this, I'm not going to be your friend anymore. You're not going to get this kind of privilege any longer. You know, this is just a suggestion. Well, really, it's mislabeled instruction or mandates. A real suggestion is just an option to be considered. There's no requirements or consequences for non-adherence. But instructions has regulations with consequence. And I realized as I began to think about what I was inspired with, that there has to be many times long periods of instruction before we can really be infused or infusion to happen to us. You know, it took a long time for my parents to infuse me with the things that they did. I lived in their home until I was past 19 years old, and they infused some principles in me that have followed me all of my life. But it took 19 years for them to do that. And as I go out into my adult world, I have realized that any adjustments to those things that were infused into my character has been a major adjustment. Okay? It's been something that's been difficult to change and alter. Most of us, if not all of us, would never become infused with good principles, ardor, or zeal of any kind without instruction. Remember, the definition that we had for infusion was it's the infusion of good principles into the mind, the infusion of ardor or zeal. Many times, if not always, as individuals, we would never be infused with good principles, ardor, or zeal without instruction. So I put this up here in a level of power, a level of importance. And I'd just like to say to each one of us that inspiration from God should be our destination. That should be where we want to be. Infusion is the last step before inspiration can really occur. And someone that's unwilling to accept instruction most likely will never really receive inspiration. Does that make sense? If we're never willing to be in a place to be receptive of instruction, the reality of us ever really having inspiration is probably not going to happen. The steps leading up to inspiration are infusion, and before that is instruction, and before that is suggestion. And I just want you to know, when I'm standing behind a desk like this, I feel like many times we are trapped as a minister with just making suggestions. You think about that. How many times over your lifetime, every one of us, I want you to just stop and think. How many times over the course of your life have you heard something preached and went home and felt like that was just a suggestion? And if you didn't feel like it was a suggestion, you didn't feel like you could accept it as instruction. And then I want you to realize how you devalued what might have really been an inspiration from God. If God inspired the word and God inspired the message and you took it as a suggestion, that's kind of like going in to a upscale place to buy merchandise and expect to buy it for yard sale prices. That's what's happening. And you know, we'll never get in the place of the display of power that inspiration will produce if we only consider what inspiration that's given to us, the things that's given to us by inspiration, if we'll only consider that as a mere suggestion, we'll never reap the benefit. You'll never reap the benefit of real inspiration if we only look on the scripture as a book. If we only look on the prayers and the practices of the saints as just suggestions. If you only look on the integrity of lives and the examples that's been given to us as just a suggestion, and we never are able to accept instruction, and we're never able to come to the place we're willing to realize there's consequences if I don't follow instruction. We'll never get to the place that we start absorbing the real Spirit of the Lord. And then you say, well, I'm inspired to do this for God. Probably not. It probably was just a bright idea. It was just a little flicker that came on. You know, I've seen some pretty strange things in electrical things over the years, and sometimes it's like, I don't even know how that happened. Think you unhook the wires, and then all of a sudden something actually flickers a little bit. And there's some kind of electrical charge that got stored up and discharged in a way that it made some little lamp flicker or something like that. But I've seen some pretty weird stuff. So, you know, God's seen some pretty weird stuff too. Or people that thought they were inspired and they went off on something and they didn't really have the inspiration at all because they never followed the steps. We just won't get there, folks. We just won't get there if we're not willing to accept instruction and we're not willing to be infused with the principles of God. I believe inspiration is what makes things really happen. I believe it develops self-confidence. I believe it empowers us with a vision of the finished product. I know as we sat here this morning that some of us are more visual of completed projects than others. But you know, if you just say, I don't see it. I don't know. I don't get it. You know, if you don't get on the wagon, if you don't start really applying yourself and you don't start wrapping your mind around it, you'll never get it. I'm talking about just temporal things. Job said in 32:8, but there's a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. I believe Job was a wise man. I believe he was a man of integrity. I believe he was a man that actually was in a position to receive inspiration from God. And he said, the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Did you know that the inspiration of God is going to open up so many possibilities and so much potential in spiritual things? It'll help us get a hold of a vision of how we can work and how we can apply ourselves in the kingdom of God. Inspiration will cause people not only to have self-confidence and empower us with a vision of the finished product, but inspiration will cause us to have a willingness to sacrifice. Did you know if you're not inspired, you're not going to be willing to sacrifice? You know, if I make a suggestion for you to sacrifice, there's no consequence. Maybe I will and maybe I won't. It's really no consequence. You know, I can't dictate any consequence if you don't come to service tonight. It's up to you. It's a suggestion, you see. It's going to have to go way beyond a suggestion for you to be inspired and be willing to make what the sacrifice might entail to be in service. It's going to take more than just a suggestion to really make changes in our lives. When we're willing to go beyond a suggestion and receive instruction and apply ourselves, how many people volunteer for instruction? Not very many. People sign up to go to school, but you find out that really they're just there to spend time a lot of times. They sign up to go to post-secondary education, and sometimes it seems like a big majority don't apply themselves. They come out with a piece of paper and that's it. They don't hardly know how to function. There are those that do, don't get me wrong, but Lord, help us. Are we willing to be in a place to receive instruction? Are we willing to realize the consequence of us not receiving instruction? It'll make a sacrifice if we're willing to be inspired. It'll cause us, if we have inspiration, it'll cause us to venture out in new areas, temporally, spiritually, in an organization, in a congregation, in our occupation. But it's got to be real inspiration. It's not a bright idea. Moses was a good leader. Would you agree with that? I'm telling you, he took on a job that I don't think any of us here, I'm back up. I'll speak for myself. I would not want to volunteer for the job Moses took on. Who else could have had the knowledge of the politics and the inside workings of the Egyptian government other than Moses? He's the only one. And who else knew what it was like to be a slave? Moses did. And he knew what it was like to be a free man, although he was in exile. And he was free from the pressure of becoming the next ruler. He was also free from being a slave. But he was out there in the wilderness, herding sheep. I'd like to turn to Exodus, the 12th chapter, and I would like for us to look at an example of people that didn't become inspired. Exodus, the 12th chapter. I begin reading in verse 33. He says here, and the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, we be all dead men. So the setting here is after the last plague, and the Egyptians had finally said, you have got to leave. We are not going to try to retain you anymore. You got to go. And the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders, and the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses. And they borrowed of the Egyptian jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required. And they spoiled the Egyptians. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramoth to Succoth, about 600,000 men, 600,000 on foot that were men, besides children. And a mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds, even much cattle. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they had brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt. They could not tarry, neither had they prepared for themselves any victual. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. Most of that 430 years they had been enslaved. That's a long time. 430 years they had been taking instructions. It wasn't suggestions. They had just been doing what they were told, and the consequences if they didn't. And here Moses came along and he had orchestrated the deliverance by the inspiration of God. He had followed God's instruction in administering the plagues. And at every turn there was rejection and disappointment and refusal of the Egyptians to negotiate and compromise and all of those things. And it came down to the Passover time. When the death angel came, the Israelites were up. They were prepared. They'd taken prepared the Passover meal, and the death angel came and killed all of the firstborn, livestock, people, everything of the Egyptians. And that's the final straw when the Egyptians said, "You got to go." And as they began to leave, it told us here in the 35th verse, it says, "And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses." Now, for Moses to be a leader, somebody has to be willing to do what they're told, right? So I believe that Moses was a good leader, because how many men left? 600,000 men is the record here, besides children, besides women, besides the mixed multitude, besides the livestock. It's some people have estimated over 2 million people walked out of Egypt. That was a lot of people, plus the livestock. Them could have easily been, most livestock have four legs, so if every man had two, you start doing the math, some of y'all that's quick on your numbers, there were many, many footsteps. You know that many steps could have walked through a lush, fertile valley and been very full of grass and all of that, and by the time the last one passed through, it would look like a desert. Everything would have been pounded out and dried out and pulverized and killed just by that many steps going across it. This was a mass exodus. There had to be a lot of people that was willing to listen to what Moses had to say. Moses was a good leader. Moses was a man that got them moving out of slavery, out of bondage, and towards the land of promise. For that, I say that he was a very good leader. In verse 40, it says the Israelites had been taking orders for nearly 430 years. I don't know if it was 350. I believe that they weren't slaves as long as Joseph was alive, but after he died, there was a new Pharaoh came along. And he changed the rules down there. So they'd been slaves a long time. And as they came out of Egypt, I want you to realize they were a long ways from being infused with inspiration. They were a long ways from it. They were beaten down. They'd been abused. They'd been taken advantage of. They were disheartened. They were not focused. They didn't hardly know what inspiration was, even if they had a word like that. But I'm going to tell you, it takes more than leadership to infuse and inspire. You know, you can have a good leader in a congregation, and people can come and be willing to do whatever the leader says. And they can be willing to accept instruction and the consequences of not doing what the instruction said. And there can be a lot of movement. There was 2 million people. I don't know if there's any congregation anywhere that's got 2 million people in it. I don't even know how they passed the word around. But there had to be something going on there. Somehow God enabled Moses to be that kind of leader. But you know, as I look on from this vantage point of where I'm at in time, when I look on that, what do I see? When they got over there to go in and spy out the land, how many people really was in a position to be inspired that they could take the land? 2 out of the 600,000 men. I don't know, were they all 20 years, was that just those that were 20 years old and older? I kind of think that's what that means. I'm not going to say I know exactly. But there was only 2. You know, there was 12 spies that went over, and 2 of the 12 were those 2 that were inspired that said, we can do it. The Lord is going to do it for us. They had a what? Inspiration done what for them? It gave them a vision. They could see the finished product. Not only that, it caused them to be willing to venture out into a little bit of unknown, a whole lot of unknown. I don't really know how. Yes, they're big men. But look at the fruit of the land. God's promised it to us. I'm inspired. Let's take it. 2 men, 600,000 men left Egypt. That wasn't very inspirational, was it? Moses was a good leader, but somehow inspiration wasn't able to be passed on. Moses was inspired, don't you believe? I believe he was. He had an incredible ability. He was in an unprecedented position to be able to understand the whole dynamics of the situation. But the people somehow either weren't able to be inspired or he wasn't very inspirational. And I don't know your thoughts, what your opinion is of me as a person or the church is as a in your mind. Is the church a place where you go to get suggestions? Is the church the place you go for instruction? Is it a place you go to be infused? Where does inspiration come in? Because inspiration will turn the world upside down. Inspiration will change things. It will cause your life to be different. It will cause other people's lives to be different. 2 men, the only ones that were inspired. One of them ended up taking Moses' place. His name was Joshua. Joshua was a hero and a leader. And I believe that he had slightly more success with inspiring the people. I'd like to turn to the end of the book of Joshua. And I'm not going to read it all. Y'all, you can do lots of reading to verify what I'm talking about this morning. But in Joshua, the 24th chapter, and down towards the end, in verse 31, next 2 or 3 verses from the end, it says that Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. Now, I want us to stop and think about this setting right here. Prior to this, Joshua had recounted what God had done for them, brought them out of Egypt, How, if you want to read the 23rd chapter and the 24th chapter up to this point, you find out that Joshua recounted everything that God had done for them and given them and blessed them and the deliverances and all the things that he had blessed them with. And he come down and he said, this is where he said in this chapter, is for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Now, today, when I read this account, and then I read the call that Joshua gave, it makes me feel inspired. Can you imagine what it would have been like that day to see Joshua be able to emphatically present the record of how they got to where they were, and then present the challenge? You need to choose. What are you going to do? As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. What are you going to do? Well, we could go to hear some inspirational speaker, and they could tell us, they could give us all of their reasoning for doing what they're suggesting, and then they could maybe say, well, everybody that wants to be part of this, raise your hand, or stand up, or sign up over here, or give me your dollars, or whatever it is. And Joshua said, what are you going to do? It's an inspirational speech, if you will. And here it says in the 31st verse, in Israel, well, it said up above there that Joshua died. And here it says, and Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua. Now, I want to stop and think about who were the elders that he's talking about. The elders that overlived Joshua were the ones which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. I read one place, been some time ago now, that they felt like that might have been maybe 10 to 20 years after Joshua before they all died off. And here's why. This is my thoughts now. All the works that the Lord had done, that's the works he done in Egypt. That's the works he done in the wilderness. That's all the deliverances of coming in across the Jordan River and conquering Jericho and Ai and all of those other places. You know, Joshua and Caleb were the only ones that were 20 and older that made it into the Canaan land. So we're talking about the people that were 19, 18, 17, 16, 15, 14, on down to where they had some concept. You think some of our young children here today, if you're 8, 10 years old, do you think you'd remember what it was like to live in a household that was slaves? I think you would. So if you were 8 or 10, Joshua lived to be 110. Maybe you didn't live that long. You wouldn't be very much past Joshua's age when he died. 10 or 20 years seems like a loss, doesn't it? But at least that generation was inspired. It was more than two. It was more than two. But was the percentage a lot better? I don't know, folks. But look how difficult it is to really get real inspiration. It said that they served the Lord all the days of Joshua. He was a good leader. He had an ability to inspire the people to some extent. But it says, and they followed after all those the elders that knew all the works of the Lord. But then what? They fell into disobedience. They fell into, you know, those of us that's getting older, we're not going to live forever. And I just want you to know that you don't have to be 40 to be inspired. And neither is inspiration just for the young. Every one of us, if we will get in the position, and we're going to have to go past suggestions, We're going to have to go past instruction. If you say, well, I'm going to just skip that instruction. It don't work out too good with me because somebody always has some idea that I don't think is very good. And they think, well, I'll just skip that and go straight to infusion and then I'll be inspired. Wrong. It just don't work that way. You're going to have to be in a place to accept instruction. You're going to have to be willing to realize there's consequences if I don't follow instruction. And you're going to have to be in a place that you begin to be infused with the wisdom from above that's pure. And when you go beyond that, that's when you're going to be able to be really inspired. But look how powerful it is. Israel, which was most likely many more than 600,000 men at this point, they served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and those that had known all of the works of the Lord, as long as they lived, everybody followed the Lord. Don't wait to become infused or inspired until it's too late. I would like to stop here this morning. I believe there's some inspiration that needs to happen. I believe that we need to recognize where we're at as individuals. And we need to go beyond thinking, I go to church to get suggestions of how to deal with life. And we do. There's a lot of good things that's shared when we empty vessel to vessel on Wednesday night, sometimes Sunday night. And there's a lot of good suggestions that'll really help us with our dilemmas in life, our people problems, our relationship problems, and our emotional issues that we all have. A lot of times there's good suggestions. Sometimes we don't like it when somebody tries to give us some instruction, though. But I'm going to tell you, I hope we can get hold of something this morning that goes way beyond all of that. I want us to get in a place where we can really be inspired. Because inspiration, folks, has the potential of changing things. If we don't have inspiration and we're just considering things as suggestions, we are defunding the Lord's operation. We are discounting the power that He has in men's lives. We have to have inspiration. We cannot go forward. As a people, we cannot go forward in Christianity without real inspiration. There's been a lot of people in the name of Christianity that's followed instruction to their own demise. There's been a lot of people that has, over time, there's been those, and I'm so thankful for those that have responded and been infused with God's direction and been inspired to carry on the truth. And we're going to have inspiration too, or it's not going to happen. There's a lot more vacant church buildings today because there's one that just recently was damaged by a tornado, church building that had been there over 100 years in our community, up where we live. And I just had someone tell me this past week that there wasn't enough interest there to rebuild the building. So they decided to, I noticed that the land was cleared and grass was growing there when I went by and I asked them about it. And it's a vacant place now. And it's because there's no inspiration. There's no real inspiration would have made that thing thrive. Inspiration will make this thing thrive right here where we're at today. But if we don't have inspiration, it won't work. It'll only be a suggestion. Take it or leave it. You know, that's their ideas. Lord, help us to go way beyond that. That's where the power is. You pray for me.